we're going to be talking about creating a healthy volunteer culture. And I was informed somewhere that there was a typo, that it was said creating a health volunteer culture. Well, you can tell that's not happening. So if you want to go to that seminar, Adam will be glad to set that up for you, the 100 Mile Man. But we are talking about creating healthy volunteer ministries. And, you know, volunteer ministry, I was thinking about this as I was looking over everything again last night, is not a term that maybe 20, 25 years ago, I would have even, if somebody said, we're going to talk about volunteer ministry, I would have been like, what are they talking about? But it's kind of become common lingo in churches. But just to kind of get everybody on the same page of what we mean by volunteer ministry, because everybody doesn't use the same semantics. Volunteer in our context at Awakened Church in Tifton, Georgia, is it means someone who is using their talents and their time to serve the kingdom of God without pay. So in other words, a staff member is not a volunteer, but anybody that's using their time and their talents to serve the Lord in or through the local church, we consider a part of our volunteer ministry. Now, we could go into semantics of whether volunteer is the best word to use or servant's the best word to use, and we could probably get a panel of guys up here to tell you why we don't use volunteer and why we do use volunteer. The one word that I really don't like to use is work. And that's the one we use most common, our workers at the church. And the reason is because I just feel like work is a curse of the fall, and serving God is not a curse of the fall. So we try to use different words. Serving is my favorite word. Volunteer just kind of encapsulates that. But while semantics can be important and debatable, for today's purpose, we all agree that we have volunteers in our church, people that are serving every day, every week. And so we're going to you're going to get the 30,000 foot view. I'm doing a series of seminars in Florida at their Christian Workers Conference that's going to spread this seminar out over 2 days. So you guys are getting the 30,000 foot view. If you want more detail about it, if you got more questions, Shane, would you wave your hand back there in the back? Shane, he's hating this, every bit of this. Shane is the executive pastor of our church. So basically, I talk about this stuff and he actually does it. So if you really want to know what it looks like and how to do it and what to do when somebody doesn't show up and all those things, Shane is your guy. But both of us would be very happy to discuss that with you. But we're talking about these people. We're talking about Sunday school teachers. We're talking about small group leaders. We're talking about ushers. We're talking about greeters. We're talking about people that clean the church. There is an endless list of people that would qualify as volunteers in our ministry. So when we ask that question, volunteer ministry, what is it? It's a lot of different things, but it's those people that are using their gifts and their talents for the Lord. We're all going to be familiar with this passage of Scripture. If I can get my Bible out here. But we'd be remiss if we didn't look over at least the biblical basis for this. So Romans chapter 12, and there's a lot of places we could go for this, but Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Very common passage of Scripture. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in the view of this the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord, which is your reasonable worship. And I love this because Paul is talking to a group of people that grew up taking sacrifices to the altar. And they're like, how do I worship the Lord now? Well, you give your life as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. Then he says, for by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, all the parts do not have the same function. In the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. In giving, in generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. That becomes the biblical basis of our volunteer ministry. In other words, if you got a gift, you need to be using it for God's kingdom. And everybody has different gifts. And, you know, somebody may be like, there is no way in the world we want to put these people with kids, but they may be the best cook in the world. And we got a way to serve that way. Or maybe they're the best security person in the world. And so the way that we encapsulate this at our church is we have core values, and that tells people what's important to us. We talk about it, we emphasize them all the time. And one of our core values is we believe everyone's called to be on mission. Everybody. And so we will say that. We'll say that phrase, everybody's called to be on mission. Then we'll get even more clear. We'll say, in other words, if you're sitting in this church, you have a place to serve. We're not a come and sit type of church. And so we really push for everybody, no matter who they are, what their giftedness is, what their talents are, to serve the Lord in some capacity. That's what I think ultimately a healthy volunteer ministry is where everybody is using their gifts and their talents and their treasures for the Lord. Now, we're not perfect at that. Pastor Shane and I were texting back and forth this morning trying to figure out, because I wanted to give you an accurate depiction of what's going on in our church. We have between 53 and 58 volunteers that are scheduled every month. They're in a scheduled ministry, whether it's teaching a class, doing ushering, greeting, tech team, worship team, cafe, wherever. There's 53 to 58 of those. And then we have another 8 to 10 that are non-scheduled volunteers. So they cut the grass. They clean the church. We have a lady that is a retired restaurant owner. She cooks for different events that we have. We have another lady who came and said, she's a young lady, said, I would love it if we had a freezer in our church where we could cook frozen meals and you guys could take that to people in need, or if they had a baby. We're like, great idea, start it. So she started the ministry. So she does that. That's a non-scheduled thing. So all in all, we have somewhere between 60 and 70 volunteers serving every single month. Just to kind of give you an idea, proportion-wise, our adult attendance averages around 100 people. So that puts us at around 60 to 70% of our church is serving. Like that's what we strive for. But I say that to say this, that's not unintentional. It didn't just happen to fall that way. We were very, very intentional about a lot of things, and that's what we're going to talk about here. And I could tell you a million things we're doing wrong, and if you want to ask questions at the end, we could tell you some of those things as well. But the first thing I want to encourage you to do, and this is going to sound crazy, is stop recruiting. Stop recruiting volunteers. The biggest reason is we're not very good at it. I mean, we think we are, but we're really just not. I remember probably 12 years ago when this all kind of started coming to fruition for me, we went to a conference at Saddleback Church in California, and I saw that the kids ministry leader at Saddleback was leading a seminar on how to get volunteers. And I thought, well, boy, if there's ever a seminar I need to go to, because while we may be at 60 to 70% now, at that time in our ministry, we were at like 20%. And I was like, man, this is it. And so I go in and she said, look, I know all of you came here because you want volunteers. How many of you guys would say your church is under-volunteered? So I'm going to ask you guys, how many of you would say your church is under-volunteered? You need more volunteers to do the ministry. Everybody raised their hand. She said, you know, I know you're thinking, Saddleback, we've got 3,000 kids volunteers. They had 3,000 kids volunteers. Doesn't that sound amazing? Yeah, unless you have to coordinate all those people. She said, I know that you came here because you thought, well, they know how to get volunteers. She said, we have 3,000, but technically to fill our needs, we need 4,000. And I was like, okay, wow. And she said, there's a biblical reason for this. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There'll always be a greater need than there are people in the seats or people in the roles to fill it. So then we become, okay, what can we do to be the best stewards of this volunteer ministry? And I think part of that starts with stop recruiting. Here's why. Here's how we typically recruit. And I kind of left one of these off at the very beginning. The first thing we do is we make announcements, right? And if announcements worked to get volunteers, none of you would be here today, right? And when you're naive and new to ministry, you think if somebody would just make an announcement. How many times does people come up to the pastor and say, Pastor, I just need you to make an announcement. We need more kids workers, right? That's going to solve all of our problems. Well, if any of you have found out that you can get up and make an announcement and your volunteer ministry just floods in, please come tell me, because you'll be the first person. So then we move on from there to the pastoral plea. And so we'll, pastors, because now, you know, whoever was making our announcements, Frank's making our announcements, he couldn't get any volunteers. Pastor, I need you to fit this into your sermon. And so we're going to fit it in somehow. We're going, man, we need volunteer. Maybe we preach. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so we preach it and we preach it, and we hope that our doors are going to be flooded with volunteers. And they don't. And if they do, we get maybe 10 to sign up that day and one sticks. or two sticks. So then we go to sign-up sheets. If we'll just put a sign-up sheet, if you have volunteers, I mean, everybody has servants in their church, people serving. You've went through all of these. Let's just put a sign-up sheet out. And we're going to power that with an announcement. And so you stand up and you go, look, we need kids, volunteers, and you're all excited about it. And maybe you even bring a crying baby up on stage. And you go, this is going to get it. And there's a sign-up sheet in the lobby. And after church, you go look at the sign-up sheet and you go, what are we going to do? So then if you're anything like me, you get creative. I remember we did this when we were in Homerville. We had a creative idea. We're going to do a ministry fair. Everybody sets up booths like a science fair to tell all the different places in the church that you can spend your time. And not only did nobody sign up for volunteer, nobody showed up for the fair. We didn't give away enough food. Everybody that showed up was already serving somewhere. And then we get to one of my favorites, the pastoral guilt trip. I didn't preach on it hard enough. I didn't ask for it hard enough. And so we get up there and we guilt people into not serving. And we kind of browbeat them. And if you think that works, bless your heart. And then, I need to back up there. And then we go from there to passive aggressive comments. And those don't always come from the stage. Sometimes they do. But then we also see people in the hallway going, well, if more people, and you're saying it so that Susie down, if more people would help with the babies. You know, and of course, we all know passive-aggressive comments win over the world. And then we get to where, well, let's go back to our idea with the sign-up sheets, right? That certainly got to work. So let's just pass it around. How many of you guys have ever done this? Thank you. At least a few of you. You pass them around, and I'll tell you this. I, if you want to go home and fill up your volunteer sheet, go on a Sunday morning, say, we need more volunteers, and pass it around. People will fill it up. They just will never follow through with it. Right? It's the frustration. And then we go, I got to give complete credit to this, to Byron Trimble. If you've heard Byron Trimble, you know this. We go to voluntold. Basically, somebody's got to do it. And my wife's already doing seven things, so somebody else has got to do this one. And we just tell somebody, I need you to do this. And I've seen this play out in some okay ways. I've seen it play out in some awful ways. I have some friends in Arizona that attend a church that if you have children, it's a requirement to serve in the children's ministry. Not all parents are equipped and gifted to serve in children's ministry. That's also a great way to run off young families. And so we have to take all these things into account, but we just really aren't very good at recruiting volunteers. And really what we're doing in all of these things is we go, we've got a sinking ship. Don't you want to jump on board? Don't you want to be the Susie that's back there that's got no help? Don't you want to be a part of this? And everybody's going, no. Absolutely, I don't want to be a part of that. This sounds like an awful place to serve. There's a great book, I'll pull them out at the end, called Stop Recruiting and Start Retaining. And that was basically his plea in the beginning of that book, is nobody wants to be a part of a sinking ship. We want to create something that people do want to be a part of. And by the way, serving the Lord isn't something we should have to be guilted into. Right? So let's talk about some ways to create some healthy volunteer culture. And I'm going to grab my computer charger here because I don't know if there's a place to plug it in. But I'm in trouble, just a second. We may lose our screen. All right, we'll just pray it works. All right, focus on retaining by creating a healthy culture. The first thing that I want you to think about, and this is going to be a quick step-by-step kind of process of things to think about, but to kind of kick that off, I want you to begin to think about your volunteer culture as a wholesome ministry. Because I've realized we don't always do that. We think about, well, we've got some kids workers over here, and we've got some greeters over here, and we got people that sing on stage over here. And we treat it kind of like if you had a football team, but you don't say you have a football team. Well, we've got some wide receivers. And we got an offensive line. And we got a quarterback. But really what we have is a football team. And so a lot of times, not a lot of wholesome effort is put into looking at the whole volunteer ministry as a whole. And go, what can we do top to bottom to create a healthy volunteer ministry that people thrive in, that ultimately, and the whole purpose of this, by the way, is not to meet your needs. The whole purpose of this is not to meet the needs of your church. The whole purpose of this is to allow people to live out their God-given calling to serve Christ and His church. The whole reason for this is Romans chapter 12. And sometimes it has to be a mental shift in the leader. Because we think everybody exists to serve the needs that we have. But we wouldn't say our needs, we'd say the church's needs. But then when people don't serve or the needs aren't met, we are the ones that feel let down. We're the ones that feel abandoned. But we are trying, and so, you know, it's a phrase like, we don't want something from you, we want something for you. Now you can say that or you can mean that. Those are two different things. So this all starts, a healthy volunteer culture starts in the heart of the leaders and go, one, why do we want people to serve? Do I want people to serve so that I can have somebody watching kids so that I don't have to hear a crying baby and people can hear me preach because I'm so awesome? Because if that's our motive, we're never going to have a healthy volunteer culture. Never. But if the calling is, I want to see the people in our church, and that's for us, our staff, we want to see the people that serve in our church fulfilling their God-given talents. And so we have some needs. We have areas where we go, okay, we could use more volunteers here. But when I see somebody not serving in our church, my thought isn't, well, gosh, I really wish they were serving in kids' ministry because my wife's having to serve 3 Sundays a month. And I just, I go, man, I wish Rachel was serving because that's God's calling for her life. That's where we have to get to. So we start that with a healthy on-ramp process. And an on-ramp process is the beginning of let's get volunteers. So that's part of all those things we talked about earlier, you know, putting out sign-up sheets and asking people to be a part of it. One of the ways that we really push this on-ramp process is we have a thing called Lunch with Pastors. If you're new to our church, we really encourage you to come have lunch with us. And then we just share in that lunch, hey, we believe everybody's called to be on mission. That looks different for every single person. And if you want to serve, and we talk about different areas you can serve, and we're like, if you want to serve, talk to us, and we'll be glad to get you to be a part of that. We always get one question, and it's the one question that we refuse to answer. Anybody want to guess what the one question is we get from people, potential volunteers? Where do you need help? And I mean, every lunch with pastors, every single one, we get that. We will not answer it because I don't want people where I need them. I want people where they are gifted. And sometimes we make assumptions about that. I'll give you an example. We've got a new family in our church. Their name's Keith Newell and Kim Newell. Kim is a parapro at the local school. Now, if I'm just looking at that situation, where am I going to put her? Kids ministry. What if Kim doesn't really like her job that much? What if she does like her job, but she's got kids at home and she's teaching kids 5 days a week, and the very last thing she wants to do on Sunday is teach kids? So we tell people, look, serve what you want. After our lunch with Pat, or after I first talked with this couple about our serving culture, and Keith has gotten plugged in, she hasn't quite yet, he texts me that afternoon. And he said, hey, I just want to thank you for not immediately saying my wife should serve in kids. He said, every church we went to, we've left because that was the assumption, and she doesn't want to serve in kids ministry. How many times are we making the wrong assumptions about people? So we ask people, what are your gifts? And we tell them, hey, here's what we've got. And if that doesn't fit any of that, you tell us what. So Sam started a ministry with a freezer full of frozen meals. Miss Peggy said, so we're at Lunch with Pastors. We had catered Lunch with Pastors in from a local restaurant. She said, hey, where do you get this food? We told her. She said, not anymore. I'll cook it. So we're using her gifts and her talents. We have another young couple that came in, perfect young couple to put in any area of ministry in the church. And he said, hey, who cuts the grass? How can I get to be a part of that? That's what I'm passionate about. You allow people to serve where they are called, where they are appreciated. I mean, where they feel fulfilled. There's a lady in our church, she does a cleaning business. So sometimes people want to do what they do at work. Sometimes they don't. Miss Robbie and her husband, Wayne, they serve at our church, and they clean every single week. Now, it's a kind of an odd situation. They cleaned the bathrooms for free. They were doing that. We had other people cleaning everywhere else in the church, and the other people were not doing a good job. Shane and I were coming in cleaning up every Friday and Saturday, mostly Shane, cleaning every Friday and Saturday because the other people either didn't show up or did such a poor job. We had to. So we went to Miss Robbie and Mr. Wayne. We said, look, we're not going to ask you to clean the whole church for free. It's 10,000 square feet. It's too much. But what we want you to continue to clean the bathrooms for free if you want to, because you're serving there. But we want to pay you to clean the rest of the church. And so give us a quote on what the rest of the church will be. So we did that. Miss Robbie came up to me about 2 months ago on a Sunday morning and just what I said, I just want to thank you. Cleaning this church is so fulfilling to me. That to me was a huge ding, 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 healthy volunteer culture. Healthy volunteer culture, because here's somebody who's spending Fridays at the church, half the time their pastor forgot to turn the air conditioner on for them, and she's feeling fulfilled by it. That's healthy volunteer. So we begin to think about this on-ramp process. How do we get people in the right places? And part of that is giving people a chance to say no. Part of that's a chance to say, go try kids ministry. If you don't like it, let's get you out of it. And so we talk about trying a lot of stuff, come watch ministries. We do something called a volunteer, where they come on a Sunday morning and Pastor Shane shows them around the entire church. Here's what the worship team does. Here's what the tech team does. Here's what the cafe does. Here's what the kids volunteer. And on a Sunday morning, literally walks them through every ministry that we have on a Sunday and says, okay, now what do you think's a good fit for you? And then we're able to on-ramp them better. One of the biggest mistakes people make in the on-ramp process is people say, I want to serve, and we never follow up with them. Sometimes I think the Lord's looking at us going, you keep asking for more people. I've gave you 40 and you got none of them plugged in. Or they went into Sister Wanda's Sunday school nursery and she made it clear it was her nursery and they had to get out of there, so we didn't get them somewhere else. Those kinds of things. The second thing is appreciation. Appreciation is such a huge part of a healthy volunteer culture. Letting people know that you appreciate their serving. Now, we make it clear to our volunteers that basically 363 days a year is not about them. If we have a service or an event or a program or anything on our church, if you're a volunteer, it's not about you. It's about our guests. It's about everybody else. But two times a year, we have an event that we say, look, this isn't about anybody else. This is about you. We're serving you tonight. We feed them steak dinners. We bring in good entertainment. We've brought in Byron Trimble. We brought in axe throwing places. So once a year we do a big appreciation dinner. We give them a nice gift. We feed them a great meal. We give them entertainment, and we say, look, tonight is all about you. We want to thank you for serving. And then we do that again at Christmas time. Now the Christmas one's a lot less than the big volunteer appreciation dinner. But it's a fun night where it's like, look, we don't let people take out trash. We don't let people serve food. We don't let people do any of that. We recruit outside help. We either get a mission group to come, or, by the way, a great way to get people who aren't serving into serving. Hey, I know that you're not serving at our church. Would you mind coming and serving our volunteers? They will almost always say yes. Oh, you mean the people that's been watching my kids every Sunday? You mean the people that stand outside and greet me every morning? The people that do all the jobs I'm not doing? Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, most of the things in ministry you luck in by accident. We had a group of about 10 people that came to us, one volunteer appreciation, and offered to do that, and that's where I got the idea. And that was their on-ramping process to being a part of volunteer. So appreciation is a big part of that. Gifts, part of that. Cards. We have our volunteer coordinator, which is he's a volunteer himself. We call him a high-capacity volunteer. He's basically like a staff member. He coordinates those 53 to 58 volunteers every month. He schedules them. He finds somebody to fill in for them when they're not there. He also had his wife write handwritten cards to every single one of them and put a coffee gift card in there. Just, hey, I just want you to know I appreciate you. Pastors, one of the greatest things you can do on a Sunday morning is just walk around and say, I just want you to know I really appreciate you doing this. You do such a great job at this. Or, hey, whoever's running the computer at your church. We all know the nightmare of not being able to get your scriptures up or your points. Man, you do such a great job. I never have to worry if what I want on the screen is on the screen. It's always there. Just those little things. We got a lady named Cindy. She beats us to the church every Sunday, or almost every Sunday, because she wants to make sure her pastors have coffee when they get there. Isn't that amazing? Don't you wish you had 100 people like that in your church? So there's seldom Sundays go by that I don't say, Cindy, I appreciate you. And then you know what? When I get up on stage and I tell people about Cindy, man, she could float out of that room. And then you got about five other people go, I want to be like Cindy. Appreciate people. Let people know. And it's not fake. It's genuine. It's got to be genuine. I appreciate what you're doing for God's kingdom. The next thing you want to do is provide great support for them. And just to be honest with you, we're not very good at this. Not saying, just in general, the church is not very good. We're like, hey, great, we got you on the team. Go serve. Good luck. Could you imagine if a football team said, I got a full roster, we're good. No practice, no drills, no coaching. We got a full team. They're a pretty good-looking group. We're going to win all our games. But, man, we do that in church so many times. We have to provide support. So what does support look like? Training. Training is a huge part of that support. Basically, not just throwing people to the wolves. So we do a system where it's like I watch. So if I'm going in to volunteer in the cafe, I'm going to go in one Sunday, and I'm not going to do anything but watch Cindy. Not to the point that it's awkward. Like if she's opening a box and unloading stuff, I'm going to help her do that. But I'm not in charge of anything. I'm just watching. This is really true in a kid's class. They just sit in a corner and they just watch. The next week or the next time they serve, they would help. Okay, so I said, well, Cindy, how about today you show me and I'll make the coffee and you'd set everything else up. Or I'll set everything else up, you make the coffee, because Cindy's pretty funny about her coffee. And then the next time, you're gonna help me. So now I come in and this Sunday, Cindy, I'm gonna do everything. You just help me where I'm messing up or where I'm falling short or where I can't remember this, that. And then at the last, you're going to watch me, and now we know, hey, you're fully trained, you're ready to go into this ministry. So it's I watch, I help, you watch. That's the flow that we strive for in most of our ministries. Equipping volunteers, giving them what they need to serve. You know, sometimes Sunday school teachers or people want to go out and buy all the popsicle sticks. Sometimes they can't afford it. So making sure that everybody has what they need to serve, caring for them, noticing when people need a break, a respite, a change of ministry. One of the things to me that showed that we have a somewhat healthy culture recently is we have a good friend of mine, my hunting buddy, his wife, Kim. She served in our kids' ministry. She's a volunteer coordinator for a hospice organization. That's her job. She knows all about volunteer ministry. And you could see that Kim was starting to get heavy, had some marital problems going on, had a new grandbaby coming, had just a lot of stress. And Kim came and she said, I need a break. She didn't come to me, which we're really close to her. She didn't come to Shane. She went to Alan, our volunteer coordinator. So one, that's a healthy thing to us, that people are going to the right people. She said, I need a break. Now, what was my pastoral worry? Anybody know any pastors in the room? When Alan said, hey, Kim's not doing kids ministry anymore, what was my worry? Well, I was worried they were leaving our church. I was like, well, 3 or 4 weeks, they're gone. And that, man, it hurt me because I was like, man, Eddie's my good buddy. And, you know, I knew some stuff that was going on and all these things. And 3 months went by. Kim didn't serve. She's going to be serving again in the month of August. She came to us. She said, look, I just needed a break. Life was a little stressful. I'm ready to get back in and serve. So she contacted Alan, texted my wife, said, hey, I'm ready to serve again. That, to me, is a sign of a healthy volunteer culture, that people have the space. And she apologized to my wife when she said, I'm sorry. And Ashley said, don't be sorry. This is what we want. That is supporting people. That's caring for people. Sometimes you need to go to people and go, hey, you know what? Might be a good time for a break. They're probably not going to take that well unless they're really desperate for it. But sometimes as a pastor, you need, or a leader or whatever, you need to do that. And then also huddles. We do huddles every single Sunday. We do one with our worship team. We do one with our kids ministry, and we do one with what we call first impressions. That's greeters, ushers, cafe, all those things. And a huddle is basically just a mini little pep rally. But we give them a little bit of training. We give them a little bit of support. We give them a little bit of encouragement. If somebody gave their life to Christ last week, we talk about the impact they had. Man, there's this lady, I don't know who she is in Florida. She sent our church a letter, and I want to hug her neck because she gave us like 2 months worth of huddle material because she just wrote this long letter telling us everything she loved about our church and how welcoming people were and how she liked this and she liked that. And you go into a huddle and everybody's getting ready to serve and you say, hey, I just want to read you this letter. Somebody came through 3 weeks ago. I don't even know what she looks like. And here's what she said about you guys on the front porch. Man, they're just going to, whew, let's go conquer the world for Jesus by greeting people. And so huddles do all those sorts of things. It gives a chance for prayer time. Another important part of a healthy culture is community. When people ask us, how can I get more involved or connected at Awakened Church, I always tell them, serve. Now, that may sound backwards because most people would say small groups. And small groups are great. But what I've watched and learned is the people that serve together in ministries get closer than anybody else in the church. They rub shoulders week in and week out. You go watch the ladies that's doing our kids ministry. They're in there talking and sharing. And my wife knows all kinds of stuff's going on with people in the church that I don't know because they sit there and that's their community. And the people that's out on the front porch for 30 minutes every single Sunday together, they're growing. They're getting a sense of community, a sense of belonging. And people that get involved in serving leave at a much less or much lower rate. It is just a great way. Pastor Shane started doing something recently. I don't know if he got this idea somewhere or if he just came up with it. But their huddles through the summer, they're doing something called 2% more. 2% more. So they get there in their huddles and they do something to get to know each other 2% better. But 2 weeks ago, what was it? Who's your best friend growing up? They went around the room and everybody talked about who their best friend was growing up. Or you say, hey, what was your favorite dish that your grandma cooked growing up? Or, hey, what's your favorite hobby? The sole purpose of that 5 minutes every Sunday morning is just so everybody in that group that's serving together can get to know each other better. You see, we're not just trying to fill needs. We're trying to fulfill people, trying to connect people. There's a whole different philosophy in how this is done. And then energy and excitement, I think, is a really, really big part of this. If nobody wants to be a part of a losing team, right? Nobody wants to. If you walk in on a Sunday morning and everybody looks like this, and, oh, I couldn't hardly get out of bed to get here this morning. Who wants to be a part of that? Listen, I am a big mix between extrovert and introvert. Most people don't know I'm introverted at all. I grew up as an only child. I had all this time by myself. And so I was always extroverted when I was around everybody else. Well, now that I'm married and have a kid, I don't have a whole lot of time by myself. So I have to kind of force that introverted time. But on Sunday mornings, even if I did something stupid, like we went out to the Georgia-Florida game on Saturday and we got home at 1 a.m. in the morning. When I walk in that door on Sunday morning, it may not be to Shane or to Pastor Matt, but everybody else in that church, they're going to think I'm on cloud nine. They're going to think, man, Pastor Josh drank too much coffee this morning. Because I am bouncing around the church. I'm dancing around a little bit. I'm high-fiving people. I'm the loudest good morning to anybody in the room because I want people to be excited about being at church. I want to be excited about being at church. I want when people pull up to our church for the first time and they walk in the front door, I want them to tell that the people on the front porch are excited to be there. Because if they're not excited to be there, why in the world would they want to come? Why would they want to stay? And so we have to create energy and excitement. Our volunteer appreciation events do this. The Christmas party, Pastor Shane always does great games, and we just laugh and we have a good time. It creates excitement, and people want to be a part of that. And one of the most energizing things you can do for them as well is just to let them know how important they are. We call our volunteers the lifeblood of our church because we think everything pumps through them. And then I want to give you the silver bullet. Everybody's always looking for a silver bullet. What's the one most important thing that we can do for volunteer ministry to make it successful? And this is it. Connect it to the gospel. It is absolutely the most important thing. You go, everything doesn't connect to the gospel. Yes, it does. I'm going to give you a story. If you've listened to the podcast I did on this for Better Together, I apologize. If you ever hear me speak on this again, I apologize. I'm always going to share this story because it's just such a beautiful example of what this looks like. We were at our church in Arizona. We had a good group of volunteers. We were trying to create a healthy culture, and we were trying to put people in the right places. We had a guy named Keith. And Keith was, you guys know him, it's the guy that you can't get away from on Sunday morning Because if you don't, he's going to take up all your time because he's just going to talk. Like, Keith, I need to speak to everybody else. I can't just talk to you. So we put Keith out front of the church, and we called him our quarterback. And we said, our greeters were inside. We said, Keith, your job is to catch anybody that's new to this church, anybody you've never seen before, anybody you've never talked their ear off, and you're going to catch them, and you're going to bring them inside, and you're going to introduce them to a greeter. That's your job. You're the quarterback. You got to catch them and pass them off. You can't keep them. If you hold the ball too long, you're going to get sacked, Keith. We literally told him that. You got to catch them and pass them. So Keith is the guy out front. Let me tell you about one of our greeters. This was just the sweetest lady in the world. She was the lady that you can't go to her house without eating. Even if you're slam full, she's going to cook you something. She's not going to be happy until you eat something. And you're going to, her name was Miss Edie. She's just that lovely, hospitable grandmother. It was in Arizona, but she was like a southern grandma. And she was great. And then I'll tell you about one of our kids volunteers. Her name was Joelle. And Joelle was trying to find her place in kids ministry. She didn't really want to teach, but she kind of wanted to hold babies. So she was serving in babies. And by the way, now she's the children's director at that church in Arizona. But at that time, she was a brand new volunteer, just trying to figure out what to do. So she was serving in our nursery. Well, we had a young couple come to our church named Matt and Nikki Moore. Didn't know them from anywhere. They just moved from Washington to Tucson. And Keith catches them out front, says, hey, glad to have you. He goes in, he passes them off to Miss Edie, and Miss Edie just like loves all over them, and hey, here's your coffee. And she said, do you have kids? They didn't have any kids with them. They said, well, actually, we have an 8-month-old. His name's Colin, but he's not with us today. She said, oh, let me go show you our kids ministry. So she goes and she shows them where, when you come back, this is where you can check him in. And let me go, they won't mind. Let me go down and show you the baby room. And she introduces them to Joelle and tells them all about this baby. And then she runs into me in the hallway and says, hey, let me introduce you to Josh. This is one of our pastors here at the church. And so I met him just kind of really briefly. And as I was preaching that morning, I looked out over the room, and you get a sense when something's really heavy with somebody. And there was a lot of heaviness going on with his family. I don't know what it was, but there was a lot of heavy. They weren't crying. You could just tell. I think as a gifting from the Holy Spirit there, I could sense something was going on with them. And so after church, I saw them getting in their car. We had a bunch of windows up front, and I ran outside, and Matt was already in the car, and Nikki was getting ready to get in to drive. And I said, hey, I just wanted to speak to you guys. It was so good to have you guys today. And Matt got out of the car and he walked back over, and they just both started weeping. I mean, weeping. And I thought, this is weird. Because and Matt said, I just got diagnosed with terminal colon cancer. He said, and we moved here because my wife's family's from here. And he said, we don't know what to do, and we don't know where to go. He said, but we've never felt so welcomed somewhere in our life. And we'll be back. And so I prayed with them there in the parking lot. I went back and I shared with some of our volunteers, hey, pray for Matt and Nikki. And 2 weeks later, Matt and Nikki came back with colon. Now you can imagine an 8-month-old baby in a house full of that much stress. His world was upside down. And he screamed. So much so that when I was preaching the whole service, I could hear him screaming. And the parents could hear him screaming. And everybody else in the church could hear him screaming. And he screamed. I preached a sermon that morning. Matt gave his life to Christ that morning. As soon as I came off stage, band's still playing, they're getting ready to do the rest of the service, I walk around the stage, down the hallway, and the first thing I do is open up the room of the nursery, and I look, and Joelle's ready to quit life. You can just see that look on her face. She has been holding a screaming baby for 1 hour. And I said, Joelle, I just want you to know that that baby's daddy just gave his life to Christ. And she knew the story of what was going on in their family. And her face changed immediately. Because what she was doing, now she wasn't just holding a screaming baby. She was creating an opportunity for a parent to give his life to Christ, who, by the way, 4 weeks later, was with Jesus. And I go back and I look and I say, Keith, you were a part of that story. Edie, you were a part of that story. Joelle, you were a part of that story. And if you will allow your people to see how cooking, cleaning, serving, keeping kids, making coffee, cutting grass, how those things are a part of the gospel, and how they make a difference in eternity and how they're fulfilling their God-given calling to be a part of God's kingdom and be on mission, people will not dread serving. And you won't have to recruit them. They'll want to be on board. They'll want to be a part of that because people want to make a difference. And so you find little ways to do that. Like you go in one Friday and tell Miss Robbie and Mr. Wayne, did you know that one of the top five things that people look at when they go to a new church is how clean it is? And I just want you to know that when people walk in our church, they don't have to worry about whether it's clean or not. And that's not going to get in the way of them hearing the gospel. They're going to come back. It matters. That's why she walks in on Sunday morning and says, I just want you to know. Because every week when she cleans, you know what she's thinking about? People pay attention to this. It matters. And so, again, we're not perfect at everything. We could get up here and we could tell you a million things of our volunteer culture. We have a staff retreat every year, and we look back this last year and said, we need to change some stuff. We've lost some excitement, some energy. And we went back and made a couple little changes to our huddle system. And within 3 weeks, people were showing up 30 minutes early. People were bouncing around when they showed up. They were excited because we were intentional about it.